Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
And listen, bearing good fruit, it's a challenge to all of us. Today's our last message. It's been a challenging message series. It's one of those sermon series that hits you right here, and you have got to make a determination. Am I going to take what I'm learning and walk it out, or am I going to ignore it? You have to make that decision. What kind of fruit am I going to bear out of my life? And every one of us has to make that decision. Every one of us has to make a decision on what kind of fruit am I going to bear. Jesus called us to live different than the world. So I want to tell you, if you live just like the world, then I would say you're not a believer. If this doesn't change you and you're the same Monday through Friday as you've always been, then you're not a believer. God changes you, and he transforms you, and he causes you to live different. You might go, Pastor Jason, are you judging me? I'm just telling you the truth. Because when God comes along, he changes you. He changes your heart. Are you going to be perfect? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about some idea that perfection. Listen, we're still going to make mistakes. But when you're going the same way the world's going, that's a problem. When you live your life the same way the world lives their life, that's a problem. God is calling us to live different. Jesus calls us to bear good fruit. And here's the question. The question boils down to, what kind of fruit is your life bearing? And stop blaming other people for bad fruit in your life. It's nobody else's choice. It's yours. But we live in a world that loves to make everybody else responsible and blame everyone else for our bad behavior. And God calls us to live differently. If you are blaming somebody else, that probably means you need to forgive them. And it means you're living in a prison. And so today, I want to challenge you. What kind of fruit are you bearing in your life? Galatians 5:22 through 23 says this. Paul shared it. This is the kind of fruit that needs to be coming out of our life. But the Holy Spirit produces. Now, notice I say the Holy Spirit. Okay? Because some people think, well, I'm just going to do it. It's my job to bear good fruit. No, it's your job to partner with the Holy Spirit to allow him to work in your life to bear good fruit. So don't sit there and let the enemy bring this heavy load on your shoulders like I have to do. No, all you do is you partner and you choose what kind of fruit's going to come out of your life. Right? So listen, Galatians 5, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience. I love what the Amplified Bible says about patience. Okay, it's not that you waited on God's timing, it's what you do in the waiting. You catch that? I love that in the Amplified Bible. So patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. In America, we love all you can eat. Maybe not so much the buffets, but we love. What this is saying is you can have all you want. You can have as much of it as you want. You can have all you want, all of the goodness, all the kindness, all the fruit of the Spirit. The past couple of weeks, we've been talking about how we live this out and what it looks like in our lives. Listen, if you just sit here on Sunday and it doesn't change you Monday through Friday, then you're missing out. This should change how you live. It should change what comes out of your life. God should change you so when you walk out of here today, you're a different person. And begin this process. It's simple. If you say you're a believer, what comes out of your life should be different than what comes from the world. And there can't be any excuses. Jesus calls us straight out. Everyone likes a lot of excuses for the bad fruit. And I'm calling you today, take responsibility and then allow the Holy Spirit to empower you to live differently. Let's take some responsibility and say, okay, I do have some bad fruit coming out of my life if you do. We take that responsibility and we allow it to God to change us. Jesus was clear about bearing bad fruit, or bearing fruit in Matthew 7, 16 through 20. He says this, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. What fruit is coming out of your life? And here's the thing. If you're growing a garden, what grows the easiest in that garden? It's weeds. Right? You're growing weeds. You're growing good stuff. And do we have any gardeners in here? Are you a gardener? Okay, so what happens if you allow weeds to grow? Tell me. Not weed, weeds.
They choke out your plants.
They choke out the plants. Okay? What bad fruit are you growing that's choking out the good? Because you can have a garden and you can be growing the bad right along with the good. How many of you know that? And listen, the weeds grow without any effort. I hate weeds. They drive me nuts. Go back and look at our backyard full of weeds. Weeds will grow without any work. Good fruit takes a lot of work. You have to be in there. You have to dump the fertilizer. Some of you are walking through some pretty stinky times of your life right now. God might be fertilizing that good fruit in your life. Right? The weeds just grow, but the fruit takes work. The good stuff takes work. It takes you saying, okay, I'm going to go out, I'm going to tend to this garden, I'm going to rip those weeds out so they can't steal the life from the fruit that I'm trying to grow. I think of those trees that you see in Florida. That I think they're, are they oak trees or pine? I don't know. They have very shallow roots, and whenever the storms come, they go flying over. I want to challenge you, grow your roots down deep so you can grow good fruit. Get those roots down. People will recognize you by your fruits. It's as simple as that. Like Pastor Paula said a couple of weeks ago, this portion of Scripture is really dealing with false prophets, but also dealing with our life. And essentially, Jesus was saying, prove it. If you say you're a Christian, prove it. It's the world's indictment on Christians today. They act different than they say they believe. And I'm calling you today, if you say you're a Christian, prove it by the fruit that's coming out of your life. So what exactly does the Bible mean when it says a good tree or a bad tree? Biblical trees symbolize our lives, growth, and fertility, reflecting the abundant blessings that God bestows upon creation. They serve as a reminder to believers of God's intricate design and desires for humans to thrive in the created world. I said that word thrive. God has called you to thrive. He's not called you to barely make it. He's not called you to put up with bad fruit in your life. He's called you to thrive. If you're not thriving, stop and figure out what kind of fruit you're growing in your life, and that's going to tell you why. God has called you to thrive. And in God's kingdom, thriving means different than what we see in the world. Thriving doesn't mean a full bank account. Thriving doesn't mean that you're living in the biggest house. Thriving talks about what's going on inside of you. And see, that's the thing about these fruits. It changes you from the inside out. That's why we can't be the kind of people God called us if we're not being changed inside first. It changes from the inside out. In fact, that's what Jesus called Pharisees when they all acted like they were perfect, but they were a mess on the inside. Whitewashed tombs. And so what I'm calling us today and what I'm saying is let God change you from the inside out. I think you could also say a good heart can't bear bad fruit, and a bad heart can't bear good fruit. Pastor, are you saying that we have bad hearts? If you have not been born again, that's exactly what I'm saying. We all have a sin nature. We have a sin nature the minute we get born. Watch little infants. They're as cute as can be, but they have a sin nature. They're born to disobey, right? We're the same way. So don't sit here and go, oh, I'm great, I've got a good heart. None of us have a good heart if we haven't been born again. We need God to change us from the inside out, to change our heart first. Because you can't have a bad heart and expect to grow good fruit. In fact, if bad fruit is coming out of your heart, stop and look at what's going on inside of you and let Jesus change you. And I'm not talking about us all being perfect. I've already said that. We're not saying, oh, man, I can't make a mistake. What I'm saying is, what kind of fruit are you continually growing in your life? What are the patterns? What do you keep going back to? What's keeping you held down? Prove it by letting God change the fruit of your life. Are you guys all with me? Ooh, it's quiet, though. Woo, woo, woo. Are you saying, Pastor, I'm not a good person? If you have not been born again, do not buy into the world's lie that all it takes is to be a good person. Because without God's help and without our lives being transformed, we cannot be the people that God has called us to be. What kind of fruit is coming out of your life? Our hearts can also become bad because of what we allow to take root. Bitterness, unforgiveness, hatred. It'll always cause our hearts to become cold and pull us away from God. Realize the enemy's plan. If he is bringing bitterness and anger and hatred into your life, he's doing it to separate you from God. It'll only hurt you. It's not going to hurt the other people. That's what I always say with holding on to unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is like you drinking the poison and expecting the person that hurt you to die. It doesn't work that way. It kills you on the inside. Here's what I love about the fruit of the Spirit. When you live a Spirit-empowered life with the fruit of the Spirit alive in your life, it changes you from the inside out. I've already said that, and I'm going to say it a couple of times because I want us to get it. Listen, if you don't have joy, it's because it's inside. You're not going to be able to give out something you don't have. If you don't have peace, which is a fruit of the Spirit, you're not going to be able to give out something you don't have. Some of you, you live in such worry, anxiety, fear, and I'll tell you it's because of the fruit that you're allowing to be grown in your heart. It changes you from the inside out. And truthfully, in the society we're living in, we try to medicate rather than fix things. Okay? And I'm not saying you don't need medication sometimes. But what I'm saying is, I don't want to just cover up something. I want God to heal it completely in my life. I want to have peace. I want to have joy. I don't want to live with anxiety and worry and stress and all of those things. And listen, if that's what you have going on in your life right now, stop and say, God, what kind of fruit am I growing? Because none of us were created. We were created to live with the fruit of the Spirit, joy, peace, love, kindness. You'll have more love inside your life, more joy, more peace, more patience, more kindness, more goodness, more faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It all comes out of what's going on right here and the kind of fruit that you want to bear. It'll change inside of you, and then what happens when you get bumped and what comes out is what kind of fruit that you have going on in your life. What happens when you're driving down the expressway and somebody cuts you off? That's the kind of fruit I'm asking. What comes out of your life? That's why we don't have Hope City bumper stickers, by the way. We're working on our fruit right now. I've watched some of you. I drive behind some of you. I know. Don't drive behind me. No, I'm just kidding. But the Bible says there's no law against these things. Paul was saying you can have as much of this fruit in your life as you want. You don't have to live in fear, anxiety, worry, stress, or constant turmoil. What fruit you're growing is what's affecting you right now. When you walk out of here tomorrow morning or this afternoon and you say, man, I'm going back to work on Monday, do not go back to the same old fruit. It's time to start growing some new fruit in your life. Ask the Lord. Take some time. It's important we take time out on a regular basis to check out the fruit that's coming from our lives. And truthfully, we need people surrounding us who will tell us the truth about the fruit that's growing in our lives. You need some people who will call you out and say, this is the kind of fruit I see happening, and this is what needs to change. Here's, you know what the world says about that? Well, you can't judge me. You're judging me. No, listen, we're not called to be judgment. We're not called to be the ones that make judgment, but we are called to be each other's fruit inspector. How's that fruit in your life? That's why you need to be in a life group, where people know you and can call you out when they see. Because sometimes we don't even see it ourselves. There's times where we get into growing some bad fruit and we need somebody that will say, stop it. It's important. Take time out on a regular basis. You can use the list in Galatians as a way to evaluate what's going inside of you and what's coming out of your life. What are you proving to the people around you? What are you proving by the fruit that's coming out of your life? Because that's what we're called to do. Jesus says, prove it. If you say you're a believer, what kind of fruit's coming out of your life? I want to share with you three keys to living a life that proves that you're a Christ follower and you're being who Jesus called you to be. And I'm telling you, we don't like to sometimes hear that we are called to prove it, that our life has to be different, but I'm here to tell you the truth. That's exactly what Jesus calls us to do. What kind of fruit are we growing? Because what we're growing in our lives is what proves to the world around us. At the beginning of this series, we also talked about the truth that each one of us is going to reap what we sow. Okay? That's a biblical promise. And we're talking about gardening. We're talking about the trees of everything. I want to tell you, some of you are reaping right now the seed that you planted a long time ago. Right? And we don't like it. And it's challenging. And I'm going to tell you right now, what you're planting right now is what you're going to harvest down the road. Let me say it again. What you're planting right now is what you're going to harvest down the road. So plant good fruit. Start putting the seed in the ground. Say, this is where it stops. I'm going to start growing good fruit in my life. And here's the thing, you don't have to do it alone. Holy Spirit comes along and he says, listen, if we'll partner together, I'll help do this in your life. All he's looking for is somebody to say yes. Start growing the fruit. There are going to be some painful moments of pruning. But truthfully, we need it. There's some of us, we need some pruning in our lives. Where some of that stuff is chopped off that we've been living with for a long time. But listen, he's not going to prune it until you make it available. What kind of harvest are you planning for? I'm going to share with you these keys to planting good seeds that will give you a harvest and will prove that you are a Christ follower. You know, in America, we also say, I don't have to prove anything. That's not what Jesus said. Whew, quiet. Are you with me? This is challenging for me too, right? And see, I don't know if I said this, so if I did, just humor me, because sometimes I forget. Okay? I'm not talking about the one thing that pops up once in a while. I'm not talking about the things that we make mistakes with, because there's grace for that. What I'm talking about is a pattern. What I'm talking about is what you allow in your life over and over and over and over and over again that's hurting you and everyone around you. That's the bad fruit. What is it that's over and over and over and over again? And some of you, you've lived with it, and God's calling you to get rid of it. It's time to prune it. So here we are, 3 points. Key number one, decide what tree you're going to grow. I really think it boils down. There are two trees that we have to choose from. One tree gives you the fruit of the Spirit. The other tree gives you the fruit of self. We know that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That is the list. In fact, that's the list you take. Write those things down and go, how am I doing in the area of love? How am I doing in the area of joy? How am I doing in the area of kindness? How am I doing in the area of patience? Like, let the Lord speak to you. What's the fruit of self? The tree of self, it's eye-opening. It gives you a stark comparison. Rage, lust, jealousy, envy, strife, idolatry. You might go, idolatry, Pastor Jason. I don't have statues in my house. Okay, so what takes precedent over God every time? Is God last or first in your life? Okay? What in America, we have a ton of idols, and they all have to do with time and money. Whatever comes before God in your life is an idol. So is that what's growing out? Rage, lust, jealousy, envy, strife, idolatry, gossip, and hatred. If you choose to live by the tree of self, what do you think that does inside of you? What do you think it does to you inside? It tears you up. But I'm telling you, when you choose to live the good fruit, when you say, man, I want joy, I want love, I want peace, I want patience, I want kindness. I mean, think about the difference that makes when you choose to live a life with those things. What are you proving? Friends, if you look at the fruit of self, that fruit is everywhere you look in the world today, and it's celebrated. So if you go out of here Monday through Friday and you live according to the fruit of self, you're going to be celebrated by the world around you. But God's saying, no, you got to live different. The fruit of the Spirit, that's what you have to live. And don't get mad when somebody else calls out your fruit. Jesus said, prove it. So if Jesus said it, I think I can look at you and go, prove it. If you're a Christ follower, prove it, show me. Well, I can't believe you'd ask that question, Pat. Jesus did. There's too many people that are skating along and they're not proving it. Don't celebrate bad fruit. And don't get mad when somebody loves you enough to tell you the truth. We need people in our lives who are going to be honest and call us out. We need people who are going to hold us accountable. Well, I don't want to be held accountable. Then you're not ready to grow good fruit. We need people in our lives who love us enough to say, look it, this is what's coming out of your life and it has to change. And I'm here to help you change it, right? Each one of us has a decision to make. What kind of fruit am I going to allow being to grow in my life? Take time on a regular basis. Look at the fruit that's coming out of your life. Take a moment to evaluate. If you can't see it, ask your friends who you love and trust to show you. They can help you see it. Part of this is self-awareness, but part of it is getting some buddies to do some battle with. because you can't do life alone. Listen, and this isn't even my notes, but we have a society right now who is so lonely. What did I hear? It's an epidemic of loneliness. You come and you're lonely. It's because you're not doing life with people. If you'll do life with people, I promise you, you won't be lonely. Key number two, love is the foundation. Everything starts at love. It's the foundation for all the other fruit in our lives. That's why I think it's the first fruit. Every fruit starts with and flows out of love. God gives us the fruit of the Spirit in our lives to change us from the inside out. I've already said that. His love is what brings joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control inside of us. And then out of that overflow, the more you experience his love, that's what's going to flow out of your life. I'm serious. If somebody hits you and bumps up against you, what's flowing out of your life? Is it a long line of cuss words where you're like, or is it, man? And I'm not talking about physically bump. I'm talking about when you get pushed, what comes out of your life? If it's rage, then you know. You got to take some time and let God build some fruit into your life. If you're constantly in stress and worry, so you experience a bad situation and you go right to that worry and anxiety and it brings you right down, you know you've got to work on some fruit in your life. John 13, 34 through 35 says, so now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. We are commanded to love each other. And love is not co-signing bad fruit. Well, I love you enough that I'm going to tell you what I'm seeing. Right? Love does not sit and go, well, I guess I'm not going to say anything because they're going to be offended. If they're offended, that's their problem, not yours. Love tells the truth. Our church's mission statement, it comes from Matthew 22, 37 through 39. Jesus replied, you must. Will you say you must? What does you must mean? Does it mean it's optional? Jesus said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God, love people. You got to love him first and then love people. Okay? Everything flows out of love. Jesus is not coming along and saying, bear good fruit or you're going to be punished. Jesus says, I love you enough to challenge you to bear good fruit because it's going to change your life. It's going to change you. See, I think if you just read this and you think it's about what comes out of our life and that's all you see, you miss out. Because God wants to change you first. He wants that fruit growing inside of you first. And I promise you, it changes everything. Everything flows out of love. Sometimes we think, well, is God punishing? No, it's out of his love. Because listen to what he says. God says, I have so much better for you. I know how you were created. I want you to thrive. And it's because of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives where we thrive and we experience God's love and all of his goodness. Love is the foundation. And I think some of us have a problem experiencing his love from this one sentence here where it says, you must love your neighbor as yourself. You don't love yourself, so you never experience God's love. You look in the mirror and you see everything that's ever been said about you. You look in the mirror and you see what the enemy sees and not what God sees. And you need to change that around and say, God, I need to learn how to love myself first. Key number three, you have to decide who's going to lead your life. There's one of two things leading your life. Who's going to lead your life? You have to decide. Paul tells us in Galatians 5, 16 through 17. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. I'd like to break this down and make it really practical. How do you allow the Holy Spirit to guide your life? You let him guide. You go to him before you make decisions. When your feet hit the floor in the morning, you say, Holy Spirit, I am yielding to you. Guide me and direct me and lead me to what you're saying. I'm not going to do this on my own anymore. Every morning, hit the floor and say that prayer. Holy Spirit, guide me, lead me. Okay? So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is opposite of what the Spirit wants. This is like oil and water, friends. You can't mix the two. This is good fruit, bad fruit. What happens when you put one bad fruit in a bowl of good fruit? What happens? It spoils it all. So don't say, well, you know, I'm working on two fruits right now, but the other five, I'm just letting them be however they want. No, it's all of it. Holy Spirit, guide me, show me. Now, I will tell you, when you lay out that to the Lord, He is going to work with you one at a time. He is going to be gentle. He's going to love you through these moments and help you. And listen, He's going to show you what you need to work on. But the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. What force are you giving into? Paul is clear. Don't ever let your guard down and make no mistake about it. The sinful nature is always fighting against what the Spirit wants in our lives. Walking as a Christian is not the lazy river. I'm just floating along. Life is just grand, just floating along. No, you got to pay attention to what's coming into your life. Pay attention. Keep your eyes open. The truth is the enemy wants to destroy you. The world wants to guide your life if you allow it. And I want to ask you, whose voice are you listening to? Who are you allowing to guide your life? Decide who will lead your life and determine what kind of fruit you're going to grow in and out of your life. And the question boils down to this. Am I going to live a Spirit-empowered life guided by the Spirit, or am I going to allow my spiritual nature, sinful nature, to guide and direct my life? Who is guiding you? And surrendering Jesus is the first step. Surrendering your life to Jesus is the first step. And I'm talking really surrender. I'm not saying, oh God, I'm going to give you my life and then Monday through Friday walk out and be the same person. That's not surrendering. Surrendering is, God, I'm giving you everything and I'm laying it at the altar and I want you to change me. I want you to change me. I'm going to live your way, not my way anymore. Giving your life to Jesus is not just raising your hand. It's not just showing up at church, but it's saying, God, I surrender. I surrender my plan. I surrender my will. I surrender control of my life. I give you control to you to change me and do what you want to do. For some of us, that's scary because we like to be in control, right? We like to tell God how He's going to do things. And this is a matter of saying, God, I'm doing things your way. I'm going to surrender my life. Listen, you can give your life to Jesus today and still surrender your life to the enemy starting tomorrow, right? When you go back to work and you say, man, I'm going to follow, what way are you going to follow? Choosing to allow the Holy Spirit to lead your life is an everyday choice. The decision alone determines what kind of fruit in your life you're going to bear. This is how we prove it. And my challenge to you today is go out and prove it. Go out and start growing the fruit in your life. Let the Lord speak to you about the fruit that He wants to grow. Some of you have just been gliding along. And you're struggling with stress. You're struggling with anxiety. You're struggling with fear. And I'm telling you, that's the fruit that you're growing right now. And it's time to say, Jesus, come into my garden and do some gardening. Do some pruning. Show me what I'm doing, God. Show me what you want me to do. And I promise you, He's not going to come in with condemnation, guilt, and shame. He's going to come in with a loving, gentle voice to say, okay, we're going to garden this together. We're going to do this together. Holy Spirit comes into the scene and we work together and we see God do incredible things. And I promise you, if you give us this year to really dig deep on bearing good fruit, you are going to see God transform your life. I promise you. I promise you. Jeff, is that true? God has transformed his life. God wants to transform many in this room. God has transformed your life. And it's because you said, okay, I'm done doing things my way. I'm going to bear.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.